Sorry. Our passage this morning comes from John chapter 8. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 20. If you want to turn in your Bibles or on your Bible app, we'll also have it on the screen behind me when we get to the reading. I don't know how many of you have seen the movie WALL-E. It's a Pixar movie, and in the movie, it's a post-apocalyptic type thing where all the humans have left the planet, and there's these robots that are left to clean it up, and WALL-E's one of the robots, and he has a little buddy that's a cockroach. And this movie tries its hardest to make a cockroach a sympathetic character, right? And they try to make it cute, but cockroaches are nasty. They just are. In South Carolina, they call them palmetto bugs. Ugh, they're horrible. They're ugly. They're big. They're black. And, you know, sometimes when they're crawling on your wall and you try to hit them with something, they fly. And that makes my skin crawl, right? So at our last church, I had an office, and I called it the hole because it was tiny. It was small. It was dark. I had a window unit that filled up most of the windows, so there wasn't a lot of sunlight that came in there because we didn't run the air handlers during the week. But anyway, sometimes I would go over there at night, and I'd walk in my office and flip on the light, and two or three roaches would scurry off and hide, right? They didn't like the light. They ran from it. And today we're looking at a story in the Bible where Jesus is talking about the light of the world, and he is it. And he shines a light into darkness. So let's look at John chapter 8, starting in verse 1. It says, "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. And placing her in the midst, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?' This they said to test him, that they may have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to him, 'Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her.' And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, 'Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?' She said, 'No one, Lord.' And Jesus said, 'Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more.' Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.' So the Pharisees said to him, 'You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true.' And Jesus answered them, 'Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I come from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me.' They said to him, 'Therefore, where is your Father?' And Jesus answered, 'You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also.' These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. This is the word of the Lord, and praise be to God." So I'm continuing my series, the I Am series, where Jesus is teaching people about who he is in his own words. And in this passage, he says, "I am the light of the world." In Genesis 1, verses 1 through 4, we see light enter into darkness, right? The creation is void. There's nothing there, and God speaks it into existence. And then we'll look in Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God was there in the beginning. God was there in the beginning of creation. It said his Spirit was hovering over the waters. And then he said, let there be light. And it happened. Right? In the first chapter of John, it says that Jesus was the Word and the Word was with God. In the beginning, Jesus was there. God spoke it. God's Word spoke it. Jesus is the light. Jesus was there at the creation. He was there at the foundations of the earth. It also says that he separated the light from darkness. He pulled them apart. He called the light day and darkness night. And so Jesus is testifying that he is the light of the world. If you go back, the Pharisees, they say, you're bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Basically, he says, I am the light of the world. And they say, you're a liar. You are telling people that you are something you are not. And we can testify to that. You're not the Messiah. You're not the Christ. You're not the one we've been looking for. They call him a liar. But he says, I'm telling you the truth. Because I know where I came from. I know where I'm going. What's he saying to them? You guys still think that I am the son of Joseph the carpenter. Y'all don't know my father. You don't know where I came from. I came from some place that you may never know. He says, I know where I'm going. See, they didn't have a clue about his coming down from heaven and being God in human form. They also had no clue what he was going to do. They're like, we don't know what you're even doing here. They don't know what he's going to accomplish either. See, Jesus didn't come to tell everybody how wrong they were. You know, he did in instances. His most vehement objections to how people were living were reserved for people like the Pharisees here that believed they had it all put together. But he came not to judge the world, but to save it. He came to live a perfect and sinless life, then to lay down his life on the cross. And when he did that, he purchased freedom from sin and death and the punishment of God, God's wrath. He saved his people from God's wrath through the act of sacrifice on the cross. He came with a purpose. And so, when we know that salvation comes from Christ, we know that we have hope. That is the light that we need. It's the light that he provides. The hope and light radiate from Jesus and what he was willing to do for us. God's glory and love is revealed to us through Christ. Revelation 21:23 says, and the city has no need of the sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. Jesus is the light of lights. One day, when the new heavens and the new earth exist, there will be no need for the sun, there will be no need for the moon to light our way. Christ, God's glory, is all the light we will need. Jesus is pure and holy. God is pure and holy. And one day when sin and death cease to exist, the only light that there will be, and it will shine brighter than the sun and the moon, is the light that God provides for us through his glory. The world tries to separate us into categories. One of those categories is good versus bad, right? good versus bad. A lot of times you hear statements like, well, I'm glad I'm not as bad as that person because that person's choices led them to this and this. There's a scripture where a man is praying out loud so the other person can hear, I sure am glad, God, that I'm not as bad as that guy. That leads us to this place where we stand on a soapbox and we can point our finger down at people and tell them exactly what they're doing wrong so that they could be more like us. That leads us in the wrong direction. That leads us into darkness. For some, it's very hard to recover from that label that people put on them. You know, that person is struggling with depression, or that person is a thief or a liar. And it's hard to recover from those kind of things. And so you carry around this shame and you live in this darkness because you're afraid that when people know who you are, you know, they're not going to like you. Imagine if every person in this room was labeled as the worst aspect of who they are. That would be a hard place to be. It would. Yet the world wants to place those labels on us and have us bear that weight. Let's look at the story that started this chapter. The Pharisees and the scribes, they bring a woman to Jesus. So there's this group of men that have grabbed this woman and brought her to the feet of Jesus, and they're bringing her there to test Jesus to see if he's going to do what is right, which is to condemn her to death. So they drag her to him, and they say, we've caught her in adultery. They caught her in adultery, yet they drag her to see Jesus. Where's the man that she was caught with? Nowhere in sight. Their hypocrisy is immediately apparent. They say, the law, Moses said that we should stone hurt, and they have a stone in their hand ready for him to say, go ahead and do it, so that they can just unload on her and kill her, right? And what does Jesus do? You know, drawing very casually on the ground. I don't know what he drew. There's speculation. But he's drawing on the ground, and then he stands up and he says, look, any of you that doesn't have any sin in your life, go ahead. Throw a stone. I'm surprised there wasn't some self-righteous guy in the group that said, okay, boom, right? But no, there wasn't. There wasn't. It said, one by one, they walked away. So just think about that. Imagine that. You know, if they had a stone in their hand, you're just hearing thud, thud, thud as the stones drop to the ground and they walk away. See, Jesus shined a light into that situation and showed them their sin, and what did they do? They scurried away like little cockroaches. They had tried to say, you know what, we're better than this person, and we get to judge, and we get to throw the stones. And Jesus said, wait a second, let's flip on the lights. There's not one of you that is without sin. Not one. And they knew it. Their hypocrisy was made clear to them. Maybe they, for the first time, recognized their hypocrisy. They got a glimpse of their legalism. And maybe they were finally aware of the fact that they weren't as perfect as they thought they were, and that they were ones that broke the law as well. Because if anybody should know, it's the scribes and the Pharisees that should know that if you break the law, you deserve to be punished. But they felt that they were better than her. They were judging by their own standard. And Jesus was holding up a mirror to them so that they could see exactly what they were doing. They didn't understand that Jesus was going to pay for their sin. They called him a liar. They did it so that they could protect their own reputation. as the true light of the world. The problem is that in proclaiming that they are the light, because they are living in their own self-righteousness, they are living in darkness. They're living separated from God, who was going to send a Messiah to bring salvation for all those that place their faith in him. They just had a different view of who the Messiah was. We come back to this concept that I've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, about knowing about somebody and actually knowing them. The Pharisees and the scribes, they knew about a Messiah that was going to come. Yet when confronted with that person, when they were in his presence, they weren't able to see him, so they did not actually know him. They knew of him, but didn't know him. And Jesus said, "You do not know my Father. You do not know me. If you knew my Father, you would know salvation. If you knew me, you would know salvation." They actually thought that they were the light under which the whole world should be measured, and they were wrong. Jesus, in verses 15, he says, "You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me." They judge according to their own standard. They judge wrongly. You know, it's not their place to judge. Imagine the woman standing there as they walked away. She probably thought they'll be back. "As soon as I walk away from here, I'm dead." Or she thought, "Well, maybe Jesus asked them to leave so that he could take care of me in his own way." But then Jesus did something that she probably never would have expected. He said, "Where are those that condemn you?" And she makes a profession of faith. "They're not here, Lord. No one condemns me. They're not here. They left because of you." And then he says, "Go and sin no more." Should we continue in our sin when we finally come to know who Jesus is? No. He's called us to live obediently. You are forgiven, so live in obedience. So he's saying, no one has condemned you. To this woman, "Now go and live in obedience." That's a sign that you can use. That's a way that you can demonstrate your love for me. That's a way that you can demonstrate a love for God who delivers you and brings salvation to you. And there is evil in this world. And anybody that denies that, they're crazy. There is evil in this world. But Jesus has shined a light into your life. You know, I'm sure this woman wasn't proud that she was caught in adultery. Right? And I'm sure in this relationship she was probably trying to hide it. And so, you know, it came tumbling down on her as they caught her. Her life was probably in shambles, or at least she thought so, because she was caught in her sin. And we like to hide our sin. We do. Even on Sunday, we like to dress all nice and put on a smile. I'm wearing a coat today. If I took it off, y'all wouldn't like what my shirt looks like under my armpits, right? I'm covering it up. But we come and we put on appearances as if we are not sinners, as if we are okay. And every last one of us is carrying around a burden. We're carrying around this sin in our lives, and we try hard to hide it. We try hard to hide it. We don't want anyone to see the bad things about ourselves. The problem is we cannot hide from God. The woman at the well, Jesus knew everything about her. He knew everything about this woman too. He knew about the Pharisees and the scribes. He knew that he said, okay, one of you cast a stone if you're not sinful. He knew that none of them would throw the stone because he knew each and every one of them had sin in their lives. He knows about our sin. God knows every little thing about us. He knows we are sinners. It is futile to try to hide our sin from him, right? Jonah thought that he could run from God. He thought that he could hide from God. And God went and hunted him down and made him do what he had asked him to do. We cannot hide. There is no place we can hide from God. He knows everything about us. In your life, hiding sin, when it comes to light, it can tear your life apart. It can tear your life apart, especially if you've been trying to hide it. Because then, not only did you commit the sin of whatever it is that you're hiding, but you've also been outed as a liar. And it's hard to gain trust back when you've broken it. It is. I know very well how hard it is to earn trust back when you break it. Just think about all the famous pastors that have fallen and fallen hard because they were trying to hide their sin while pointing out everyone else's. And then they were outed in a very public way. It's hard to bounce back from that. You know, it's possible, but that's a very high place to fall from. All of us have sin in our lives. We all need to repent. We all need to seek the counsel of wise people that can help us root out our sin. We all need light shown into our darkness. And Jesus can do that for us. See, you can hide your sin, but the truth is that you've already been outed because God knows every last thing that you have done. He does. We all sin. We need to seek out those that can help us to repent, to turn back to Him. You know, as a community, that's what we're supposed to be for each other. You know, I think there's wise things to do in how you share your sin with other people, because there are some people that aren't safe. There are others that are. And so you do need to trust who you're talking with about your sin and trust that they have your best interest at heart to restore you, not to continue to allow you to hide your sin, but to speak truth and love into your life so that you can be restored to a right relationship with God, where you repent and you turn from it and you live in obedience. See, God doesn't say, keep sinning, keep sinning, keep sinning. He says, I know your sin, right? Repent, walk away from it, and live obediently to me. He loves us. He wants us to. Church is not a country club. It's not a place where we come to show off and tell everybody what wonderful people we are. It's not. Not all country clubs are like that, so I'm sorry if I painted in a negative light, but church is not a place for us to come and say what wonderful and glorious people we are. It is a hospital for the sick at heart. It is a place of recovery for sinners. It is a community that builds each other up in the truth of the gospel and helps people to be restored to Him. There is not one person in this room that does not need the health care that Christ can provide for the soul. We're not meant to judge as a church, but to offer up the truth and to shine a light into darkness. And Jesus is that light. With it, the darkness is gone and the cockroaches scurry away. In Christ, we find the way to come out of the darkness and live in the light. Amen. Let's pray. God, we are people that are fallen and broken. And we pray today that you would convict us of our sin, that you would call us to repentance, and then you would allow us to put away our sin and shame, to build each other up in Christ, and to live our life in obedience to you. God, we seek forgiveness. We are a people of darkness if we remain apart from you. God, I pray for all those that do not know Christ, that they would come to know you in a way that transforms their life, that would shine a light into their sin and help them to repent. God, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of the judgment that I cast on other people who, if I'm being truthful, I am worse than them. God, we thank you for this day that you bring us to our knees to give you glory and honor because you are the only light we need. We thank you for the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made on our behalf. Lord, today, let us share that truth. Let us be your hands and feet. Let us bring healing to a dark world. Help us to shine your light and not our own. God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.